Of Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Shall we look to the Lord for his blessing?
Chapter of Acts, that's agreeable, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts.
Acts chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence, and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Crogillum. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship.
We were reminded this morning that a year ago we had the Lord's table brought before us, I believe, from 1 Corinthians 10, a very precious and happy time during those meetings. Now in this chapter, we have the remembrance of the Lord established on a certain day. Early in the church's history, the custom of the apostles to break bread on the first day of the week. We find many things for us in this chapter. The gathering center, the elevated place. Well, first we find the vicissitudes and journeys and the trials and blessings in the ministry of Paul and his company traveling around, and the power of God to direct them and to keep them, a comfort to any and all the servants of the Lord today, which we all are, have to make decisions and so on. And we will find here the truth of the resurrection, the comfort of that. We will have the truth of the Lord's coming and the resurrection. And we have the ministry that's needed and supplied now. We have the assembly of God, the flock. We have the gospel of the grace of God. We have the gospel of the kingdom, and very much ministry suited for pastoral work, which we feel is very much needed today. And an open door for all of us to take up our little part in that shepherding care. Now, the book of Acts was not written by Paul. He is one of the main servants, bondslave, as he says, who is used of the Spirit of God in the last half of the book or a little more. But the book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We were singing about a people redeemed to God and giving the Spirit to dwell within. We have that, brethren, the Spirit dwelling within and among us. And we have in this chapter the Word of God and God Himself, two resources which every child of God always has, has. You can't get into position. Think of probably suffering saints over in China or down in Peru, as our brother Bob was telling us about, and other parts of the world, and some of them suffering even unto death. They can't be put in a place where they don't have God and the word of His grace as they have learned it in their mind. So the book is written by a doctor, a medical man, the beloved physician Luke, who had written the previous book, the Gospel of Luke, to the most excellent Theophilus. And it's interesting, when he writes the sequel, which is this book, he doesn't call that man the most excellent Theophilus. Probably Theophilus was of the aristocracy. And he calls him the most excellent Theophilus. Then he writes that wonderful book of Luke, you know, that beloved gospel, the grace of God, the man amongst men, Jesus Christ. Now he starts to write this book, and he forgets about the most excellent Theophilus. He just calls him, oh, Theophilus. I believe Luke's heart was so filled with Christ in writing the gospel that he forgets the title of that man, Theophilus, and he just says, oh, Theophilus. And then he tells about the Lord ascending to heaven. And then he goes on with the full supply of the beginning of the history of the church on earth and the descent of the Holy Spirit to form the church. We give this little resume to come down to this 20th chapter. The Spirit of God had wrought with Peter and John and Philip and others of the apostles, and then selected Paul. And there had been trials and testings in the church. In the 13th chapter, the enemy had sought to introduce amongst the Gentiles that they should be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, or they could not be saved. Now that was error, which was kept out and carefully settled where it had sprung up from, in Jerusalem, and they brought back to Antioch. And Paul had labored. He had gone to Philippi and to Thessalonica and in Asia. Now he's on his journey back toward Jerusalem, his last journey that we have recorded, I believe. He has a desire to talk to a certain group. It's interesting that he selects one group of people to talk to. And I think it's very important that we get into that a little bit. There is great liberty in grace to minister and to serve the Lord in pastoral care and in teaching, which I trust we will get into, but we might just ask a few questions about these first verses here. We have brethren here who are traveling around and they need to make some decisions. How do you, Brother Lloyd Judd, how did you, if I may ask you personally, arrive at the idea that a year or two ago you were to go over to England, and did the Lord come to you in a dream, or did He speak to you with a voice that you could hear? How did you arrive at that decision? Young people have to make decisions in their life, and we all have to make decisions, and we do get the Lord's guidance. Now, how do we get that guidance? Can you help us on that, Brother Judd?
Maybe rather a difficult question in one sense to answer, but the Lord does lay certain things on one's heart, and I believe one just has to look to the Lord and make it a matter of prayer as to what He would have us to do. I trust it's not straying from the chapter, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. I'll just turn to it for a moment. We read the 15th verse. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now each one of us that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ are members of his body. Each one of us, a part of the body, members in particular. And here we find that each member has a function to perform for the good of the body. Now it is between yourself, and I say this to the youngest believer here, it's between yourself and the Lord as to what he would have you to do for him. I would suggest that you do whatever comes to your hand for today to do for him. And tomorrow he may give you something else to do. But each one of us has something, some function to perform for the good of the body, for we are a member of that body. And the Lord will lay it on your heart as to that which he would have you to do.
There was two tests that the Lord used or allowed Gideon to use, and that's in Judges 6, but the first test was the water test, wasn't it? Take them down to the water, and I'll decide. And you know, brethren, the water speaks of the Word of God. And we have the Word of God, and we test everything by the Word of God. We have prayer to bring in the Holy Spirit's application upon this precious Word. And so we do have the Word for guidance, do we not, in our life? And when they went to the water, it was decided who should go and who should stay behind. That's lovely, isn't it? But there was another test to use, and that was the fleece test, and that's Christ. And isn't it wonderful if we're really occupied with Christ? We have the Word of God, and Gideon put out the fleece. And he said, Lord, if thou